Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
Stories of Strange Creatures, Volume 2, Story Number 1. I recently changed my jobs, but before that happened, I was working at this place for about 3.5 years. Now, I've heard a lot of stories about the building I worked in, and they weren't very nice. For instance, I heard it used to be a farm run by a man who supposedly killed and tortured people. However, I'm a bit of a skeptic when it comes to things like that. That was until about 6 months before I left, when two incidents happened I wished to never experience again. I was walking through a hallway that led into another room that we used for storage, and it had two doors, and the floor itself was tiled, so it was easy to hear both the doors open and anyone who happened to walk across the room. This was at about 5 p.m., and I heard what sounded like a man quietly talking to himself, and then followed by very loud footsteps. Bear in mind that I would have been able to hear the doors open, but there wasn't any sound of any doors before or after it happened. The other incident was when I was walking through the same hallway, but this time I happened to see what looked like a tall, dark outline of a person standing in the corner of a small room that linked up to the hallway. I stopped and looked back into the room, and I saw the figure was still standing there, but without any legs. Now, I've heard stories that ghosts are not there to hurt people, but this was a different case. The figure that I was staring at suddenly rushed towards me, followed by a faint but harrowing sound of someone screaming like they were in horrible pain. Skepticism is no longer an issue for me, as this was an experience I never wished to encounter ever again. Story number 2. This story was told to me by my father. That's why I know it's true. This happened before I was born. My parents had just gotten married, and my uncle as well. My parents were staying with my grandparents until they left for the United States, and my uncle moved to a house just in front of it. These houses were built on an old rice field, and this rice field had witnessed World War II. My story begins when my uncle hired a maid to look after the house because they were not there all the time. In just a few days, it was morning, and the maid came up to my uncle and asked if my aunt called her in the middle of the night. My uncle said no and asked why. The maid said that a little ladylike voice was calling her name. My uncle did not believe her and just said that she might have been dreaming. The maid had thought that it might be a dream. Now, this happened a few times, and my uncle as well as my dad just brushed it off, thinking that she was just making up a story. But that's what they thought, until one Saturday afternoon, after they came home from a tennis match, my dad, mom, uncle, and aunt were shocked when they saw my grandparents talking to a couple of police officers. They asked why, and the police said that the maid was found hiding behind my grandparents' refrigerator, all freaked out and shouting, "They're going to get me! They're going to get me!" They asked who is going to get her, and she said, "The little people living in my uncle's house." The maid was eventually brought to the hospital, and when released, was brought to their hometown. The doctor said that she had some psychological issues before. Again, this is what my uncle and parents thought. Now, a few years later, when I was 7 and my uncle had moved out of the house was rented to a couple with one child. They came to my dad and said that they had locked themselves out. My dad had the spare key and quickly went to the house. He was about to insert the key in the keyhole when the door just slowly opened by itself. He asked the couple if they had really checked that the door was locked, and they said yes. My dad now believes that there is something not normal in that house. And to tell the truth, I think he has seen something, but he's just afraid to say what it is. Next story. Well, I've lived in the same house for about 15 years, and ever since I was young, my sister and I have encountered some strange experiences. I'm going to share what happened to me. The first time I became aware that there was a spirit in the house, I was about 9 or 10. I had a friend over to spend the night, and we were in the basement. I went upstairs for a reason, I can't recall what, and on my return down the stairs, I fell. It was only about 6 stairs that I actually fell down, but I remember distinctly feeling hands on my back and a forceful push. As I lay at the bottom of the stairs, I looked back up to see if my sister or someone else had pushed me. I saw a figure. It wasn't exactly opaque, nor did it have shape. It just seemed that in this area, the background looked less sharp, like blurry. My friend came around the corner to see if I was okay. When I looked back to see the figure, it had disappeared. The next experience happened a few weeks after being pushed down the stairs. I was home alone, and I went to the garage to get a soda. I walked into the garage, and I heard a strange noise coming from the attic. I listened carefully and decided they had to be footsteps because the noise would move about in the attic. Curious, I called out, "Hello?" And then it stopped suddenly for about a second. Then what sounded like a burst of energy or rage, the noise trampled towards the attic door. I ran back into the house and out the front door and refused to go home until someone else was there. It wasn't until recently that the being in my house adopted a visual self. Or maybe it was the first time I noticed. He's huge. If he were real, he'd be about 6'6", 6'7", maybe 250 to 300 pounds. His body and face are all the same color, paper white, and he has a full head of jet black hair. The first time I noticed him in this form was last summer. I came home from a late night of partying. While I fumbled with my keys to let myself in, something huge and white came and stood right in front of the door on the inside of the house, so I could see him in the side light windows. I screamed. I told him to leave me alone, and he slid off into the opposite way he had come. I rushed into the house and locked my bedroom door, like it would do some good. He really likes to mess with people, especially me. He likes to steal things and move them. He really likes to inhabit electronics. One night, I had some friends over to the house, and we were in the basement. We kept hearing loud thuds upstairs. I was a little scared, but I assumed that it was just a cat, only all the cats were out. I asked my friend Cody to please come and investigate with me, and he agreed. We went to the first floor and found nothing strange, so we proceeded to the second floor. We heard an alarm clock going off in my parents' room. It was around 9 at night, no reason for an alarm to have been set. What makes it really weird is that it was my mom's clock, and it was doing the alarm beeps, but my mom only wakes up to the radio and her clock and sets it for that. We both thought it was really odd. I turned it off and went back to the basement. Later, after my friends had left, I was cleaning on the first floor, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw him move across the hallway, and he went through the door and out into the garage. I noticed that on the closet door in the hallway, there was a coat hanger, and it was swinging wildly. I called my friends and had them pick me up, because the truth is, there was just no way I was going to stay there by myself. Next story. When I was only 8 years old, I saw my first ghost. I lived in a city in southern Ohio. Across the alley from the back of our house was an old shed. It seemed to be used for storage of an abandoned old house in front of it. Curious children wanted to know what was in there. My sister, 2 years older than me, and a neighbor boy of about the same age, and myself decided to check out the contents of the shed. We had entered it several times, nosing through old boxes of books and dishes, just normal storage stuff, other than the small bed in the corner, which had linens and blankets. Also, there was an old car with step sides and a windshield that cranked out. We thought it strange that sometimes the bed would be made neatly, and other times it would be as though someone had slept there. We thought maybe someone was sneaking in there also. Then the day came when my sister and I decided to step up to the side step of the car and look in. There in the back seat, we both saw a lady lying across the entire seat. Quickly, we got down from the side step. We hesitated, but did peek one more time to see if the lady was still there. She wasn't. We told our mother, and she replied, "It's only your imagination." I've never been convinced of that story since my sister and I both saw this at the same time. 20 years later, I asked my sister if she remembered the car in the building. She replied, "Yes, and the lady in it." Next story. I'm now 23, and this occurred when I was 16. I lived at my parents' house about 12 miles or so from where I live now. From the time I was a child until now, I always read myself to sleep. This night was no exception. I had been reading, using my lava lamp, and when I was reading, the TV was on in the living room, and lights were on around 11 p.m. After that, I fell asleep, as usual, with a book in my lap still on. Now, at this time, my bedroom door was broken, and a brick was in front of it so that if someone walked by, it would blow open. And this is important. It must have been a few hours later, I was woken up to the sound of my door opening. The brick made a swooshing noise across the carpet. I opened my eyes just enough to see who was there. And at first, seeing as how I was totally asleep, I couldn't understand who I was staring at. However, there was a dark figure in my doorway. I noticed that the house was completely dark and quiet, so my entire family must have gone to bed. As well, it must have been very late because my parents wouldn't turn off the TV and go to bed until after waking up very late and realizing they should go up to bed. Remember, my lava lamp was on because I'd fallen asleep with it on, and my book was on my lap. However, the figure was completely black. My lava lamp illuminated my entire room, and if standing in the doorway, the front of the person should have been completely visible. Also behind the person in the ceiling was a skylight, so the back was lit up as well. The figure was still totally black, blacker than anything else in the house. He was huge. It was a standard-sized doorway, but he reached up to the full height and filled the entire frame, much larger than my father or brother. His hand was on the doorknob, and he was breathing very hard, as though he was very angry or totally out of breath. I could hear him breathing, and he appeared to be staring at me. Now, I know I wasn't asleep. I had come full awake at this time, and though I wasn't at all paralyzed, I didn't move. I was aware of my consciousness because my arm was off the side of the bed and cold from the air from being there probably since I fell asleep. I was also doing a trick so that I could see, without anyone realizing, if I was awake, a way of looking out your lashes. It was ingrained in me since I have an older brother who used to sneak in my room and take things when I was asleep. For some reason, I wasn't scared at all, just completely calm, as if there was no reason to feel anything about him. I fell back asleep, with him still standing there breathing hard, and didn't wake up again till morning. When I woke up, I instantly thought about him. Now, this couldn't have been a dream because on average people have 6 to 8 dreams a night. If this were very late and I woke up when it was light out, I would have had another dream or forgotten about that one by the time I woke up. Now, the scary part that really cemented the fact that it was not a dream was that when I got out of bed to go into the rest of the house, my door was closed, but the brick was pushed back as though the door was open and then closed again. My parents mentioned nothing of a door being unlocked or window open, and if someone like that had broken into the house and come into my room, they would have never simply looked at me and left. Anyway, it's not the only experience I've had at my house. All my childhood, I heard a voice with no gender call myself or my mother. My mother has seen and felt my uncle that died when I was a child, etc. But this was the only time I looked straight at any type of ghost or spirit in the house. And I hope it's the last time, too. Next story. This story happened to my best friend, Ted, about 30 years ago when he was young, probably between 10 and 13 years old. His parents had a second home by Lake Isabella that was located in a mobile home park near the water. Lake Isabella is a quaint little town that is surrounded by wilderness and is famous, well, at least in our region it's famous, for its man-made lake. They would visit once or twice a month just for the weekends, so the rest of the time it was uninhabited, or so they thought. His parents had gone to visit some friends a few doors down, and Ted decided to stay home alone and watch TV. While he was lying down on the couch and relaxing, he turned his head and noticed an odd glow in his parents' bedroom down the dark hall. He said it was as though the entire bed was glowing. He didn't know what it was, but in a stupid act of bravery he yelled, "Whatever you are, get the hell out of our house." He never saw what it was, but felt it coming after him down the hall in a sudden jolt. He was lifted off the couch and thrown behind the couch, hitting the wall hard and then landing on the floor. He stayed frozen for a moment, then got back on the couch and covered himself with a blanket and waited for his parents to get home. He never experienced this again. Next story. Late in 2001, my wife was at home taking care of our 8-month-old baby girl. She laid a sleeping baby in her baby cot, pulled up the side safety bars and locked it into place, and then proceeded to the kitchen to continue with her day's chores. Several minutes later, she walked back to the bedroom to check on our little girl. She was totally surprised to find the child on the floor, several meters away from the baby cot. Upon inspection, she discovered that the safety bar was still locked and in place. The baby was fine and seemed to be busy playing. We have never been able to explain how our daughter was removed from the baby cot and placed on the bedroom floor without so much as the slightest sound being heard. I wish to add that all the doors were locked at the time, and our two little poodles make it practically impossible for an intruder to enter undetected. A few days later, I had the house slightly modified by removing the wall between the main house and the adjoining cottage. This allowed us an extra bathroom, kitchen, and bedroom. Prior to this, we had never used the cottage, as the main house already had three bedrooms. That evening, I was standing in the passageway of the main house, looking down into the cottage through the opening we had just created. My wife was in the cottage bedroom chatting to her mom. It suddenly caught my attention that another person was standing near the doorway, almost leaning against the door frame. Somehow, I was not afraid at all. I briefly looked at the figure, noticed that it was that of an older man with facial hair like a beard. He was very tall and did not move at all. In fact, it seemed as if he was looking into the room where my wife and her mom were and paying attention to the conversation. I knew then that I was looking at an apparition. I gathered all my courage and boldly moved forward, passing within a few centimeters of the figure. As I stepped through the doorway, I felt a chill in the air. A few more steps and I was standing beside my wife. I turned to face the figure and it was gone. I then explained what had just occurred. Everyone was a little tense for the next few days. We have since moved from that house. My questions are, could this ghostly person be responsible for removing our daughter from her baby cot and placing her on the floor? Who does the spirit belong to? I have encountered such apparitions on a few other occasions thereafter, but I've never had a definite answer as to who and what he wanted. Next story. Well, when I was about 13 years old, there was an older man named Jack who lived in the house right behind ours, and he finally passed on as a result of a long illness. He was a kindly old man, and the children around were always talking to him and giving him a visit. That evening, my brother and I had rented a video. We also telephoned and invited our friend Owen, who often came over. The arrangement was to begin watching the movie at 8 o'clock. It was already 20 minutes past 8 o'clock, and Owen had still not arrived. Almost an hour later, he came strolling in through our back door, apologizing for being late. Owen explained that he had taken the short route to get to us by jumping the fence in Old Man Jack's yard. As the old man was sitting outside on a little wooden chair beneath the tree, he had to stop and chat for a while. The old man told him he would be leaving very soon and that we would no longer be able to see him. He also asked Owen to convey his best wishes to all the kids in the neighborhood who visited him. Thereafter, it was general talk. Poor Owen had no idea that he had just had a conversation with the spirit of a man who had died earlier that same day. That night, after hearing the truth, our dear friend refused to go home and spent the night at our place. He visits us often, but never at night again. The burial was held a few days later, and there has never been any more appearances of Old Man Jack. Next story. When I was a few months old, my family moved from Texas into a beautiful home in Louisiana. It was out in the country, and there were a few houses that were close to us. At first, we were just renting it, but the man that owned it later sold it to us because the house went into bankruptcy. As far as I'm concerned, there was a baby and a mother. At night, my dad used to watch TV late at night. Sometimes he would hear me cry, or so he thought. So he would go to check on me. It seemed to come from the other side of the house, but as soon as he would reach the hall, it would stop. Figuring I had just stopped crying, he would come to make sure I was okay, but when he looked closely, there was no signs that I'd been crying. It happened more than once, and I was never the one crying. He would try to sneak to my room, but there were always the same results. Sometimes I would even be sleeping in my mom's room, or not even home. It always seemed to come from that side of the house, and what was heard was a baby crying. A young girl My room in the hall was a whole different house that was moved to that location many years ago. A doctor bought the house and added on to it. When I was maybe 3 or 4 years old, my dad started working overseas, so there was only my mom, me, my brother, and my sister, which were both teenagers. My sister's boyfriend would sometimes stay at our house. My mom moved me to the other side of the house in her room because I was terrified to sleep in my room. I always felt that something was watching me, and I was also scared of the staircase, which I could clearly see from my door. My mom would offer William to sleep in my room, but he refused. No matter what, he would sleep on the couch. I loved to draw when I was little, and I still do, so we would put all of my drawings at the bottom of my closet. One day, he finally told my mom that the reason he couldn't sleep in my room was because one night he woke up and heard papers being moved. He got up and went into my room and saw papers floating in the air and being tossed to the side as if they were being looked through. Not only that, I had numerous wind-up toys and a laughing phone that would wind up in the night. The little girl loved to play with my toys. One night I had a dream that the little girl was my best friend. But no matter what, we would always play by the staircase and in my room. She refused to go anywhere else. After a while, my brother and my sister moved out, so there was only me, a young girl, my mom, the ghost mom, and the ghost daughter, which also seemed to be a young girl. I know there's a mom, because one day my mom was going upstairs to clean my brother's room, and the lady in a long brown dress was standing on the staircase, blocking her way upstairs. Also, one night, I woke up to a creaking noise that was coming from my mom's room. When I walked into her room, the rocking chair was rocking back and forth, and when I went to see if the window was open, in case the wind was blowing, it wasn't. And there was an indentation in the chair, as if somebody was sitting in it, like the mother was rocking her baby to sleep. When I was in first grade, we moved to Grand Isle, but we would come to the house on the weekends. Since we left it, it was never the same. When we would come home, no matter what we did, it was cold. We even got a fireplace installed. We would come home, and it had gotten so cold that our plates were cracked and my fish had died. And the house had a weird feeling to it. I missed the house, but I, for some reason, just couldn't stay in it when we came to visit. I would always go to a friend's house. One night, I had a dream. My mom and I were outside, and all of a sudden, three men came up to us and tried to kill us. They looked Chinese or Vietnamese. In my dream, our yard was a sugarcane field. Our house is actually built on what used to be a sugarcane field. The men made a box, and it seemed very important to them. Everything was a sugarcane field except for our driveway and a tree. The three men killed my mom and I and buried the box next to the tree, the one on the side of our driveway. I know what tree it was in real life, but we moved before I ever thought about digging there. My mom and I were talking one day, and all of a sudden she said that one night she woke up to what seemed to be a horrible fight. It came from the other side of the house, yet it seemed like it was happening right in front of her. From what she remembered, there were three men yelling and screaming, killing the mother and daughter, just like in my dream, except it wasn't my mom and I. Whatever the men were screaming, the K in the language was mostly what was heard. She pictured three of men of Vietnamese type. I had never spoken to her about the dream before. People that came to our house would hear whispering, see shadows, and they would also hear my toys being played with. They all said it was coming from my room or the staircase. They knew the house was haunted, but if they were making up stories, how would they know that things usually only happened in my room? At first, my mom and I thought they were just two innocent little ghosts, but our minds were changed. As soon as my mom got the idea to get the house blessed and look up the history of the house, our lives were turned upside down. We were forced by my dad to sell the house. Many other things went wrong. When my mom and I thought about everything that had happened over the years, we began to realize maybe we were wrong about the ghost all along. Were they ever really nice? It was always bugs and snakes in and around the house, no matter what. No matter what, whether it was cold, nobody wanted to stay, they moved out refusing to stay, everybody except for me and my mom. Doesn't it just seem a little weird that there was a mother and daughter ghost? and me and my mom were the longest people to stay in the house. We finally moved and our lives seemed so much better. Even thought it was a beautiful house and we'll never live in one like it again. My mom and I have found a nice town in southern Louisiana and we're just fine without a nice fancy house. I guess money really can't buy happiness after all. Next story. This incident happened to me when I was 5 years old. Actually, since I was growing up, I saw and heard stuff all the time. Yet in this event, I wasn't the only one that experienced something weird. My parents planned a camping trip for the whole family. The place was Yosemite National Park in California. It took us a while getting there, but it was well worthwhile. Yet on our way back home, something strange happened. Not only to me, but also to my mother. We headed back home, and it was dark. I don't know if many people have been to Yosemite Park before, but there's a lot of turns, and the roads are pretty dark in the night. It's very dangerous if you're not a safe driver. As we left, the night was barely setting. My father was driving very carefully and was going in a very slow speed. He didn't want anything to happen to us while on the road. I remember that it was already dark, and my father was driving and having a conversation with my mother. My big brother and sister were in the back of the van sleeping, and, as usual, I was getting carsick. I was sitting on the side window smelling air so I wouldn't vomit. All of a sudden, I looked ahead and saw a man wearing blue jogging pants and a sweater. He was just in front of our car, walking while we were on the move. We just ran over him. At that same moment, I was confused to see that my father did nothing to stop. Well, as I was recovering from what I saw, I later heard my mother screaming at my father saying, "Oh my God, you ran over him. You ran over him." My father, confused, asked my mom, "Ran over who? What are you talking about?" At this time, he pulled over and was very confused to hear my mom scream and say he had run over a man. My brother and sister woke up with a noise and kept asking what was going on. My father managed to calm my mother down. He managed to assure her that he didn't run over anyone. He got out of the van, looked in front of the hood with her. No dents were present. No blood was around. No one else saw anything. At least, that's what they assumed. My father told her that it was all in her imagination, that she was tired and just imagined it. Yet, as she described the same man, I was even more confused. Why did I see the same thing as my mother, and we were the only ones? I just let it go and kept my mouth shut. I felt bad at one point because my mom knew she wasn't seeing things. Yet, how could she prove it if no one else saw it? As my father got back in the van and started up, I was debating on whether I should say something or not. We were driving off, and out of the blue, I felt an urge to turn back and see through the window. I looked. There he was, in the middle of the road, looking straight at me as we were leaving. He started to jog again and disappeared into the darkness. We arrived home, and no one ever talked about it again. And since then, we haven't been camping. Next story. My auntie has this big old house in Cheshire that she lives in with my 15-year-old cousin. This is what happened over the years. I love to go and sleep over there, but something about that house wasn't right. It was just the feel of it when you're alone. I used to sleep over there when I was about 9. I used to get up in the middle of the night to go to the toilet. There used to always be a strange atmosphere, like I was being watched by someone. I knew that there was something in that house, particularly around the loft stairway and the loft's hidden small room and the sitting room that is now not much used. Several years on, my auntie's friend and her daughter were living with her and my cousin for a while. My auntie asked me to take a cup down for her, and I did. I was nearly at the bottom of the stairs, and I had just happened to look out into the darkness in front of me. The only light was coming from the television, and it was very dim because my auntie's friend was watching a program there. I looked up into the darkness of the kitchen, and I saw in front of me a horrible, gnarled hand. There was something just evil about it. As soon as I saw it, I immediately looked away and rushed to the living room where my auntie's friend was. I was in shock. She comforted me and had to walk me up the stairs because I refused to go out there alone. She believed me because she too believed in the beyond. This might have to do with my auntie using a Ouija board some years ago with her friends. I only heard this from my cousin. She said that when my auntie, which is my cousin's mother, asked if there was anyone there, the cup, I think she made up her own Ouija board, violently flew off the table and smashed into pieces. When my auntie first moved into the house, my cousin was in London at the time, so she was alone for a few weeks. I don't know what exactly happened, but she claimed she heard someone walk up the stairs. A few days after that, she had the house exorcised and blessed. There was a spirit there, but I know that it hasn't gone, even now. I went up there again about 3 or 4 weeks ago. This time, I had several weird experiences. Again, I had that strange feeling that I was being watched, even though my auntie was upstairs and my cousin was out with her friends. I ignored this for a while, but at one time I was in the hall and my cousin and my auntie were talking in the kitchen with the door closed. I noticed that the sitting room, which is hardly ever used, even though it's fully furnished, that door was open, so I closed it. I went into the kitchen to get something, and the door was open again. So I closed it again and went back into the kitchen. The next time I came out, the door was open again, and not only that, the light was on as well. Neither my cousin nor my auntie had been out of the kitchen at this time. This time I knew that something was not right because I had that strange feeling that I was being watched. That same night, I went into the kitchen alone, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a white light outside in the kitchen window, even though it was pitch black outside. This was very creepy. Later on, I took a shower. The feeling that I was being watched was even stronger this time. Early morning the next day, I took my cousin's dog for a walk in the park. I was alone and I was surrounded by paths to other places of the park. I picked my usual route and I saw a hooded girl with a black dog running in front of her. I thought it was my cousin for a minute, but then I remembered that she was fast asleep at home. Thinking nothing of this, I looked in another direction. It was only for a fraction of a second that I looked away from the girl, and I looked back and she was gone. She had completely vanished. I looked all around me and she was nowhere to be seen. She was coming towards me, so I would have seen her. The dog trotted past me, paying no attention to my cousin's dog. About 30 seconds later, I looked back and the dog was at the end of the pathway I had just come from. The dog couldn't have gotten to the other end in that amount of time because it was trotting. I just carried on walking my dog. I told my experience to my aunt and she said that I must have seen a ghost. My auntie's other friend, who I'm close with, senses that something is in the house as well. When I came back down, me and my mom began to have weird experiences. My mother's passport has vanished from where she left it. A week later, she found it in a bag in her wardrobe. This was weird. Then her Oster card disappeared for a few days. She had completely searched her bag inch by inch, where she was sure that she had left it, and it wasn't there. My mother thought that she had lost it while she was out. Then the most weird thing happened. It turned up in the bag she had left in, the one she had searched. For a while, she thought it was strange, but eventually she told herself that it was just a coincidence. I knew it wasn't. About a week later, my mom turned my light out when I was going to bed. The covers on my bed were all messed up, and my mother said she hadn't touched them. When I came back out of the bathroom, my light was on, and my covers had been neatly folded back. Now, this was very weird. I usually get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and on all the occasions, I felt very cold when coming up. As with my auntie's house, I felt like someone was watching me. I think that something has followed me back because before I went up there, there was nothing wrong with my house. And now you hear all of these stories about spirits latching themselves onto young people because they're so vulnerable. My mother and father reluctant, or in reality don't know what to do about it because they just don't believe in it. Like my auntie. Only with my auntie, I think she knows that there's something there. She just doesn't want to admit to it. I dare not use a Ouija board. It's too much of a risk. So, I'm just hoping that whatever it is that followed me home just goes away.